Hello listeners, I am Jacob Tonkin and I have finally ditched my faux Cumbrian accent to bring you my truth, the truth, my Bob Graham account on the Keswick AC website. My Bob Graham round by me, Jacob Tonkin. Whenever I tell people I'm a fell runner, they ask me, have you done the Bob Graham? It is, after all, one of the biggest and hardest challenges out there. I've grown up listening to the stories of my granddad from his round and all the stories he's got from helping others. As soon as I'd done my first fell race and classed myself as an actual fell runner, I wanted to go out and help on people's BG attempts. The ethos of the round is, if you help people, and they'll come help you. The first time I supported someone was on leg 2, Threlkeld to Dunmail Raise, in August 2016. Despite me not knowing what I was doing or how to help, it was a brilliant night. I well and truly caught the bug for helping people. Since that night, I have lost count of the amount of times that I've helped people with long distance fell running challenges. I've now realised that I, like my granddad, have my own stories. Times where I got people slightly lost by taking an obscure line off Blencathra. The time I got told off by Sabrina Virgie for taking her to the wrong fence post on her Wainwright's attempt. Or the time Matthew Atkinson changed his shorts in Wasdale and forgot to take his tracker out. That's not a euphemism. The shorts went back to Keswick via Cockermouth. Those watching the tracker thought he'd been picked up by the mountain rescue. I found that if I did a leg early on, I'd often sneak out and do some more, or wait up to see them come in. Long distance challenges really do suck you in. I felt ready to have a crack at the Bob Graham in 2020. Sadly though, that never materialised. However, I did manage a successful Bob Graham, Frog Graham attempt. It was my first experience of nervously standing at the Moot Hall ready for a big adventure of my own. Although the Frog Graham is a self-sufficient round, I was joined by a lot of good mates. The main memory I have was running the last leg with my beloved dog, George. Going up to the high spy, he managed to find some fox poo to roll in. He came back to us bright orange and stinking. A smell that you don't want to encounter when you have a belly full of lake water and already feel a bit sick. My mam had to give him a wash in Derwent water whilst I swam over to Calf Close Bay. I made it back to the Moot Hall in 14 hours and 2 minutes, which was, at the time, the 10th quickest attempt. The memories of that day are made more special as I had George out on the fells with me and at my side as I ran back into town. Tragically, we lost George less than 2 weeks after. I had never experienced a heartbreak like that. In his short life, he did more for me than I could ever begin to explain. I just hope he enjoyed his time with us as much as we did. The next few months were hard. My motivation for running disappeared. On wet, miserable days, I'd stand on the porch ready to go out, then decide, sod that. Whereas with George, he needed the exercise, so we had to go out. We'd get back in, dry off, and he'd have a sleep. Wet and windy days made me miss him the most. I really struggled that autumn and winter. I just could not see the point in being out in crap weather without him. A few of my friends commented about my sudden hatred of running in crap conditions. I've never admitted the real reason to them all until now. I can only apologise to the likes of Craig, Martin, Matthew, Kat and Ivan for always seeming like I was in a grump. It has just been very hard for me to process it all. In November, we brought a four-legged little friend home with us. His name is Hector Robert. I was on the fence about getting another dog, but then when I learnt that he is actually George's nephew, it felt like it was all meant to be. It did bring up a lot of emotions for me. It was always going to be tough for the family, but one I felt was necessary to help us recover. I'd always wanted to get a second dog, so George had a friend. Hector is a very, very excitable young man. He's a real ratch. He's very good around sheep, like George, but unlike George, he's not scared of the bath. It's been lovely to watch him grow, and he's been a real beacon of hope during the last two lockdowns. Hector is now big enough to be coming on a few runs a week. I love being out on the fells with him. He's taken to sliding down the descents like a snake. Whilst he has still much to learn about being a fell runner, he's a great addition to the family. The Bob Graham was the first thing I wrote in my 2021 calendar. 26th of June, the Saturday after the longest day of the year. Time to get training. Having helped so many others in the past, I'd seen what did and didn't work. I had a very clear image of what I wanted and how I was to do it. For starters, I wasn't going to do it with anybody else. I've only helped on one round where a pair set off and they both finished. It did mean I had to apologise to a few people who asked if they could do it with me. The second main point of my round was I was going to go anti-clockwise. I was told countless of times that's the wrong way round. This change of direction made all my recces a lot more fun. After all, we all know it so well these days. Approaching fells at a different angle makes the views different, the route choice different, and the adventure greater. The main reason for going the wrong way round was that my granddad, Peter Parkins, did it that way in 1980. After an unsuccessful clockwise attempt, he changed directions and stormed around in 21 hours and 24 minutes. Having read his handwritten report, it became clear that if he'd not stopped for so many flasks of tea, he'd have done it much faster. I had every intention of having a quiet working week leading up to the round, though that wasn't really the case. At least being busy at work would stop me worrying about it all. Hector and I had an easy run out on Tuesday with my mate Tom and Hector's best friend, Killy. Wednesday was a little wet. I did become a little worried and checked the weather forecast in every gap between patients I had that day. On my lunchtime stroll with Heck, I came up with five reasons why rain wouldn't be a bad thing. 1. More water in the becks. 2. Softer ground making it easier on the knees. 3. It would be cooler. 4. Less chance of experiencing my Ennerdale chafing nightmare from a few weeks ago. My legs were bleeding. 5. It would be more of an adventure. With these points in my mind, I felt a lot more positive and was ready to tackle any weather. After all, it couldn't rain all day, right? On Thursday night, I had a quick run through the road crossings with Mam and Rachel May, discussing the schedule, what I'd want to eat, drink, and who needed to be where. It all looked so simple on paper. It all started to feel very real from this point onwards. That night, I asked myself, what would the likes of Carl Bell and my granddad do? The answer, of course, was to have fish and chips for tea. Friday was exceptionally wet. I was praying that it would rain all day, so there wouldn't be any left for Saturday. I went up to see Nana and Grandad for some last-minute motivation. Grandad told me that the day before his round was equally wet. Nana told me that at least there wouldn't be any snow. I kept my eyes on the forecast and tried to get some sleep. At about 7, we drove into town to have some dinner with my mum before, with my mother, apparently Cumbrian tribute, Jacob Tonkin says, with my mum. Struggled to read that bit. Nothing wrong with saying with my mum. I just don't normally say mum. Before trying to grab a final few hours of sleep, my alarm went off at 11 p.m. It was time. I got dressed and gathered my composure. I decided a few months ago that I'd wear George's name tag around my neck for some secret motivation. I managed to hold back the tears as I went down the garden to see him, told him I was ready to go and I would not let him down. Then I walked down the street to the moot hall. I was greeted by my Auntie Del, Uncle John and Cousin Cairns, along with a few mates and my Leg One pacers. Unfortunately, the GPS tracker I'd been given was a complete waste of time, as it had been sent out to me with a dead battery. Not to worry, I thought, it would make the round a bit more dramatic and stressful for my support team. Midnight struck. I was off. I was joined on Leg One by Craig Marsh, Ivan Hollyrod, Holly Wooten, Harrison Street and Boris Sodorov, I hope I've said that right, on his bike. We cruised through to Little Town with ease. It was a fantastic start to have Craig, Ivan and Boris with me. These are three of my best friends and always look after me no matter what I'm going through. If you ever need a motivator or words of encouragement, Boris is your man. Boris cycled back to Keswick from Little Town. Though I was sad to see him go, I was glad to get off the road and on the fells. On our way up Robinson, the visibility became poor. We struggled to find the top for a moment. It's very easy to do. Then coming off Dale Head, we were way too far to the right. Luckily, Craig and Ivan managed to sort it out and we had a good descent down to Honister. Young Harrison also did very well, as it was his first proper nighttime run. We arrived a few minutes later than planned. I grabbed a cold slice of pizza, thanked the leg one lot and set off up Grey Knots. I'd given the tracker to Rachel May so she could try and charge it. Hopefully I'd be able to collect it again in Wasdale. For leg two, I was joined by Matty Atkinson, Ming Masherpa, Kat Downey, Joe Morell and Tom Saby. The clag was making navigation rather tricky. We had an enjoyable descent off Great Gable until we realised we'd almost come down to Windy Gap. It was about this time Mingma was trying to force feed me a sandwich. I was already feeling a bit sick, having tried to eat a fair bit in the first few hours. He kept saying, "Your mum is going to kill me if you don't eat all this food." At 4 in the morning, the last thing I wanted to do was eat, but I managed to force it down. We were moving well and gaining time on my schedule. It was a real boost when the head torches were turned off. Hopefully we'd not need them again. I'm a big fan of this leg going anti-clockwise. From Steeple, it's practically all downhill. The descent from Ewbarrow was good fun, and for the first time of the day, we actually had a nice view. We were early arriving in Wasdale, so we actually caught them off guard a little. I had a quick outfit change, some pasta, and said thanks to Joe, Kat and Tom for their help. I was feeling very positive and strong as an ox. I was very excited about leg three. We'd be joined by my good friend, the Crown Prince of Borrowdale, Martin Mickelson Baron, someone who is always up for helping me on my adventures, but will then often complain about how slow I'm going. He's one of my favourite people, and I always feel better having him around. Matthew and Mingma would also carry on to Dunmail. We had a much more enjoyable climb up Scarfell than we thought we would. I felt very happy to have gotten the biggest climb of the day done, even though we were back in the clag. I was thrilled to be out there with three of the strongest runners I know. All was going well. Until. Coming down Lord's Rake, Mingma managed to have a truly spectacular fall. The rain the day before had made the rock very greasy. Only the other week, I marvelled at how good Mingma is over rough ground when we went to recce this very section. He overtook me as I was descending the middle section of Lord's Rake. Then all of a sudden, he was down, lying face down. There weren't any signs of life. I honestly feared the worst. After he stopped sliding down the scree, I rolled him over to see his face was very badly damaged. I screamed at Martin to get help. Mingma lay there for a minute before somehow getting himself up. Martin was on the phone to Mountain Rescue. Somehow Mingma carried on to Dunmail. He wasn't making a lot of sense. I kept telling him how I wasn't happy with it and we should get down to Seathwaite. But he could not be stopped. The last thing on my mind was my round. I just wanted to make sure he was okay. Martin hadn't realised that I'd picked up his pack. He went back to retrieve it and we didn't see him again. Visibility had become that poor that we were always going to struggle to regroup. So after spending some time trying to find us, he made the decision to head back down to his folks in Rothwaite. Matthew then spent the next hour trying to get hold of folk to let them know that Mingma was going to be able to keep going and to stand the mountain rescue down. The rest of the leg ended up going pretty smoothly. Once I knew Mingma wasn't going to die, I felt a lot calmer, but Matthew and I were keeping a very close eye on him. Going anti-clockwise does make leg three a bit easier, in that once you're on Bowfell, there are no big climbs. The last few miles were done with ease and we arrived at Dunmail up on the schedule. At Dunmail, There was a pretty good crowd of folk to see me come through, including my nana and grandad. It was a big thing to see them here. At this point, I was aware that I could do it, as I had 12 hours to get back to Keswick. Mingma was then taken to the Keswick Cottage Hospital, where they took one look at him and sent him to Carlisle. I was joined on leg four by Toast. I hope that's a person. Actually, I hope that's a person. If he was just born, joined by some bread. That's fantastic. Mark Lamb, John Batrick, Sam Stead, Howard Dracup, Max Driscoll and Paul Forward. The start of this leg was by far the hardest part of the whole round. Each climb felt a real drag. I remembered my granddad's advice of not talking too much to save energy. Tried to get my head down and grind out the climbs. I didn't feel comfortable till I was on Dollywagon Pike. The lads did a great job of looking after me and keeping me going. I was completely unaware that I was about 20 minutes up on my schedule. The rest of this leg is what I would class as my back garden. So it was a real psychological boost for me to be on home turf. I knew that those fells would not let me down. There was a bit of discussion about which way I should come off Clough Head as my quads were becoming a little unhappy on the descents. I could add on a little weight, little bit of, what am I reading there? I could add on a little bit of distance for a more gradual descent if I wanted. I took a quick breather at the top and decided to just plough straight forward down the front. Sam Stead managed to link up a very few mossy patches, which made the descent much better, much easier. We trotted along the Newsham line to find a big crowd of people in Threlkeld who had all come out to cheer me through. I sat down and had a bag of crisps, trying to get some salt in. I had a final outfit change, putting on my Keswick AC vest. My nana came over to give me a hug, which quickly prompted me to burst into tears. I told her that I was going to do this and now I wanted to try and beat Grandad's time. I had a hug from Mam, Rachel May and my Auntie Cap. Then wolfed down some more food before we set off up Hall's Fell. I was joined on leg five by Mark Bullock, Sam Hooper, Chris Richards, my sister Evie, Sam Stead, who decided to carry on from leg four, Craig Marsh coming out for his second leg of the day. But the thing I was most happy about was that Martin Mickelson Barron was coming along too. I'd not seen him since Lord's Rake, so I was glad to see he was alive and in one piece. The climb up Blencathra was fun. With the amount of paces I had, it was fantastic crack. We were at the top before I knew it. Glyn Jones was at the top waiting for us. From that point on, it became like Forrest Gump. More and more people joined in the further we went. The quads still weren't very happy going down Mungrisdale Common, but we were managing to move well. Mark Bullock asked me how badly did I want to get under 20 hours, the thought of which had never really crossed my mind until then. I said, I just want to enjoy it as much as I can, mate. The climb up Great Calver was over pretty quickly. Chris Richards had finally opened his bag of wine gums, which I was happy about. I shoved a few in my mouth, then enjoyed the spongy descent. It felt marvellous on my legs. Ivan and Holly were waiting at the bottom. Originally, Ivan was going to be on leg five with me, but he had a wedding at Lador. I asked him how it had gone, and he said it was the quickest three-course meal anyone has ever had. I was throwing the food at them so I could come back out and see you. The climb up Skiddaw took forever. We were back into the clag, looking up every now and then, hoping to see the fence, which meant we were nearly there. It felt like an eternity, but eventually we saw it. Mark Bullock asked me what I was thinking. I told him, whilst crying, that I wish George was here to do this last run-in with me. I just finished crying when I saw Hector, my youngest sister Esther, Harrison, and my oldest friend Joe standing at the top. I cried again, gave Joe a hug and told him to hold on tight during this descent. I'd seen that I might actually be able to sneak under 20 hours. The descent felt fast, but I felt comfortable. It was probably the best I had moved all downhill all day. At a few points, I thought I wasn't going to make it in down in time as a 3,000 foot descent at the end of a long hard day is hard. Owen Mills was on Jenkin Hill on his mountain bike to open every gate on the way down for us all. I got into Fitz Park and had a final glance at my watch. Put your foot down and run, I thought. As we came into town, a few of the lads stopped the traffic for me. I ran into town and received a brilliant reception. It was a very proud and emotional moment to climb the steps of the Moot Hall to successfully complete the Bob Graham Round. I made it in 19 hours and 57 minutes. I touched the doors and burst out crying like a baby. Boris came up to give me the customary pint from the round. I dried my eyes and stood up to receive the best round of applause I've ever had. I hobbled down the stairs. Everything was very sore now. Went over for a sweaty hug from my family and friends. I went over to see Nana and Grandad. I thanked Grandad for inspiring / making me do it, to which he responded, "I didn't make you do it. Welcome to the club." This, of course, made me cry again. I later realised that it was exactly 10 years to the day since Nana and Grandad had their car crash at the side of Thirlmere. To have them both here, along with all my other family members and friends, to see achieve a life goal was an indescribable feeling. Amidst the tears, I thanked everyone who played a part in the day. I had a sit down to enjoy myself, my well-earned pint, and let it all soak in. Despite my health issues in recent years, I was now a member of the Bob Graham Club. I would not have made it around without all the wonderful support I had to keep me going. To my pacers and road support, to everyone who came to see me run through the road crossings and at the Moot Hall, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. The morning after, I went back down to the garden at Mum and Dad's to tell George all about it. Once again, I cried. My only wish is that I could have my two boys together for the final descent down Skidder. That round was for you, George. And there's a lovely picture of a young Jacob Tonkin and a very happy looking dog.
This is a podcast, we talk about running, we talk about other things too. So please come and join us, we hope you enjoy this. This is On the Back Foot.
Well, there it is. I hope Jacob doesn't mind the real Jacob Tonkin, who's got some kind of hybrid southern posh mid Yorkshire, Derbyshire accent these days, reading that. I just read it not too long ago and really enjoyed it. And I just think it brings to life what doing something like the Bob Graham is like for the person doing it. I thought it'd make a nice intro to the podcast. Now, without further ado, a word from my sponsors. Yeah, I see. Yeah, when you put it like that. Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, I think Jacob Tonkin's contributions are good, aren't they? Yeah, I really like racing tips of Andy Blackett, so I thought that was great. Yeah. Perhaps more women on the podcast. Okay, yeah, if we could. Not enough product placement. Okay, yeah, I can do that. Are you okay? Yeah. You really like the bit where I talk about what I had for breakfast. You think I should do that more? Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's nice.
do you guys like fell running? Okay. Well, thanks anyway. It's great to have the podcast sponsored by you guys. I do appreciate it. So there we have my new podcast sponsors, the sheep of the United Kingdom. So yeah, there it is. Once I'd heard that they were interested in sponsoring the podcast, I knew that they wouldn't fleece me on this deal and, you know, or try to pull the wool over my eyes. I knew they offered me a deal that couldn't be bleaten.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Go Mountain Goats. It's me, Finlay Wilde. I'm actually on my own today. I've got a message to send to one of my friends and fellow podcasters, a previous guest on the show, Charlie Baker. Charlie is about to do his Bob Graham. He is setting off at 2 a.m. on I believe on Saturday. I just want to wish him good luck and all the best. It looks like he's been doing some great training for it. He looks like he's very well prepared. Had some great coaching in that of Billy Cartwright. He's had a couple of big weeks leading up to it. He looks like he's all ready and raring to go. The main thing really is just to offer him my the best of luck and my sort of final tips with regards to the inevitable. Really, I find with these long things, the inevitable thing is that at some point you will feel shit, and it's important to know what to do in that situation. My main tip is you will eventually feel crap at some point. And when you do, one of the better things that I find that gets me from a low point and gets me straight away to feeling much better is I've started taking with me in my pack on these things a gram of blow, and that seems to really sort of lighten the mood when things are getting tough. You can get it. I reckon he's probably got enough time to get hold of some before now and Saturday, particularly being around Sheffield. He probably knows a guy that knows a guy. Charlie, I reckon, aptly named as well, a gram of Charlie, and you'll be right as rain. I think on my round, had a couple of lines at Wasdale, and that really sort of sorted me out for the rest of the round and got us safely back to Keswick. It's done me wonders on some of my longer rounds. I passed that information on to Jack. Although I think Jack Kenzel has actually started using it sort of more regularly. And that's why he sometimes a bit seems slightly sort of off his tits. That would be my main tip for you, Charlie. And other than that, just enjoy it. Have a great time. And can't wait to hear how it's gone. Stay in touch. Speak soon, Charlie.
Well, thank you, the real Finlay Wilde. It's great to know what's been getting you through your distance runs. I'll see what I can do on that front. It is my birthday after all. I can't even be bothered to say that that's not Finlay Wilde in this podcast. Doesn't condone the use of drugs during sport. I mean, if you can't figure that out, I mean, what are you doing here?
So from one sporting legend to the next.
Hello, Darren. It's Charlie Baker, the chap who came up to you after Lad's Leap and does the podcast. I've just been very much enjoying your loopy Lattrig race report. I hope your boiler has been replaced. I really enjoyed your neighbour's bit about shitting the bed. I thought that was brilliant. I was wondering whether you, although I did read that you're not so keen on talking to answer phones, probably a WhatsApp voice note is even more, especially because I'd be wanting to then put it on a podcast, but I'm babbling away. I wondered if you would like to do us an audio preview of Pendle Cloughs with the Champs race coming up at the weekend. If this interests you, you don't have to do it instantly. Just let me know you're keen and I will await your audio delights. You just have to click on the little microphone in the bottom corner and send me something back. I think it's most rude of me to assume you wouldn't know how to send a WhatsApp voice note, but I thought I'd just add that little bit of information there for you. And yeah, you also mentioned the Bob. And I'm off to attempt it on Saturday. So also any wise words on how to approach that would be marvellous. I love a cheese and onion pasty too. They are highly underrated. Whether I can actually eat one during the Bob, maybe I'd like to try and get one after. Anyway, hope you're well, mate. Always enjoy your output. And yeah, if you would like to contribute something for the Pendle Cloughs preview, that'd be greatly appreciated. I'd love to meet you in person after. It wouldn't happen this weekend, but maybe I could travel to meet you to go for a run or see you at a race and then do an interview after, because I know the fans of Fell Running would love to hear you on the airwaves.
Hello, Charlie. Darren Fishwick here, replying to your request for a preview of Pendle Cloughs Fell Race. Before I get into that, I must say that the first time when we met, which was Lad's Leap a few weeks back, when you tapped me on the shoulder and I turned around, I had to look up, didn't I? Yeah. You're a tall lad, ain't you? And taken aback by your majestic ginger beard. And taking your beard into account and your name, I just instantly thought of Ginger Baker, the legendary drummer of Cream and occasionally Hawkwind. Well, there's no problem with that, is there? Apparently Ginger Baker wasn't a very nice person, actually. He had a bit of a temper on him. And when I've listened to your podcast, you seem the complete opposite. So, yeah, you've nothing else in common with Ginger Baker, by the sounds of it. Right, so, Pendle Cloughs. Well, the race itself starts from a little village called Downham, which is probably the nicest village in Lancashire. It actually feels more like a hamlet than a village, but it's got a church, so I think because it's got a church, that gives it the status of the village, if my education is correct. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's what governs a village and a hamlet, whether it's getting a church or not. Right, so the village itself is owned by the, I think they're called Asherton family, primarily Lord Cliveroe, and everybody in the village is a tenant, and they're not allowed TV aerials, satellite dishes, telephone wires. It's no road markings, apart from the street lighting, which I think probably looks a bit out of place, but I suppose health and safety says you've got to have some lighting at night light, you know. It's like going back years. It's even to the point where it's been used on a few films. The most famous film being Whistle Down the Wind, a classic black and white film about an escaped fugitive who takes refuge in in the barn of the farm where these children live. And there's a really cracking scene where all the children think he's Jesus until one of the little kids realises he's not and says he's not Jesus, he's just a fella. And I remember as a kid, when we were at school, we quite often used that line. You know, you get a new teacher with a beard and you go, he's not Jesus, it's Mr. Jenkinson, the new geography teacher. No, he's not Jesus, it's Mr. Haydock, the woodwork teacher. You know, along them lines. But and kids are cruel, aren't they? Because I remember us also doing it with Mrs. Smith. Yeah, she wasn't too pleased with that, actually. But in certain light, she did have a lot of facial hair. More like bum fluff, you know. But I suppose we should have kept her mouth shut. But you know what kids are like, cruel, aren't they? Right, so, yeah, for anybody who goes to Downham, you've got to go and have a look at the public toilets. Now, I know that sounds a bit strange, but if I were to compile a list of my top three public toilets, then the public labs at Downham would definitely be in that list. Probably along with Burton Grange Garden Centre in between Preston and Garstang. They're very impressive. They're like porcelain urinals in the shape of exotic plants. Yeah, they're well worth having a look at. And I remember we went to New Zealand once and we called in on some toilets, Kawakawa, I think they were, the town was called. They're very artistic, like Art Deco type thing, you know. They're a tourist attraction. That's not so often you can say about toilets, is it? No, well, there you go. So, yeah, so anybody who's going, pop yourself into the toilets and have a look. You'll be well impressed. If you're not impressed, I will be very surprised. So, the actual race itself is, I think it's probably been going since about 2008. And it was compiled by a guy called Andy Hurst, who took the best from two races which were no longer on the calendar, Downham Fell Race and Five Cloughs Fell Race, and he came up with Pendle Cloughs. And then in 2017, Mark Nutter of Clayton Limore Harriers, he took over the race and has organised it ever since. Now, I've done the race four times and it never tends to get big numbers. I think people see it as a proper navigational challenge, but it's a proper fell race, so that's, I don't know what we all want. I've done it with as little as 40 runners, and the most that's been in the race when I've been in attendance have been 81. I once finished third once in a time of 2:27, but I think this year, especially being a champs race, I can see 2 hours being broke quite comfortably, especially if the weather's not too bad and the clag's not down. But it's a proper good race, honestly. People are in for a treat. I'm not going to go too much into the route, because if you're serious about it, you'll have already been round and wrecked it. All I can say is it can get interesting between checkpoints 5 and 6, and getting out of checkpoint 6 as well. It's quite a bit of route choice there. So, I know you won't be there, Charlie, because you're doing your Bob Graham. So all the best for that. You did ask for some advice on your Bob Graham. Well, it's a bit late for that now, isn't it? If you're starting it in a few days. All I can say is, as long as you did probably at least 10,000 feet a week and at least 40 miles a week for 3 months, you should be all right. That's all I went on. And I were fine at doing it as a 48-year-old. So I'm sure you'll be fine with that, mate. Just take each leg, one at a time. Don't look at the big picture. Don't look at the 66-mile, 42 peaks. Just look at it, break it down, one leg at a time. Make sure you eat sufficiently. At your road crossings, me personally, I like stuff to be, well, moist. something that's easy to get down. I liked tomato soup, beans and cheese, porridge and bananas. During the legs, I found egg mayo butties to be very easy to get down. You just got to keep eating, mate. I'm sure you'll do it. Have a cracking day out with your mates. And you'll do it, no problem, pal. No problem. I'm sure you've been putting the miles in. Just enjoy the day. Right, there you go. All the best. And good luck to everybody on Saturday as well at Pendlecloughs. Ta-ra.
Well, I looked at that as it came in, and it was 4 minutes 49 before Darren started talking about the race. He's the man. He's the Murakami. He's the man who doesn't talk about foul running when he talks about foul running. What a hero. Brilliant to have him on. It really made my day receiving that, and I hope you enjoyed it. So much good in it. I'm not going to spoil it, just regurgitating things that he said. As a Southerner, it's also become brilliant because I was like, there's a little bit of Alex Fowler's accent in there. I'm starting to feel like I could even recognise a Lancashire accent now. I've learnt Cumbrian from Jacob Tonkin, and it's just a new world. It's what a cultural exchange is taking place.
Everyone's talking at us, and I can't hear a word they're saying. Only echoes of my mind. Folk stop and go. I can't see mush. Only shadows of their eyes. Tossing it down. Tossing. Another word for raining. How's it going, Charles? It's going away under to find myself a very loud duking spot. Which means I'm going over there to find a nice place to swim. Currently sat at work because I have a patient not turn up. A patient who is a very good Feldner actually, and they've not turned up. So I thought I'd just spend this time to do my contributions now. So if you need any sound bites or anything, I'll do a few for you now. Oh my God, really? No. Wow, that's really interesting. I love fell running. Hi, my name's Jacob Tonkin. So just insert them whenever you want in any episode you want, or you keep it as a ringtone for every time I send you these messages. And she goes, hi, my name's Jacob Tonkin. But yes, I'll share with you a little bit of advice that my granddad gave me, and it probably goes against what Coach Cartwright would tell you, but I stand by this and I enjoy it because it means you can have a lot of fun before you do a big round. But my granddad always said to me that in the week before you do a big round, you want to start feeling a little bit unfit because it means that you're not tired and you are raring to go. So spend the last week eating plenty of food and trying to get a bit fat because it'll all work out fine. You just don't want to be standing on the start line feeling tired, is what my granddad was trying to get at when he said that. A bit of Cumbrian advice for you would be to remember that you're going for a grand day out and to fetch some tasty scran. Didn't forget to have your bait. If in doubt, give it a clout and it'll be right.
Hello Charlie, it's 7:30, Friday night. I'm eating a double decker. I'm lying down in my bivvy bag. It's like a hooped bivvy bag, which I like to call the coffin, because when you're lying in here, there's really not a lot of room. And I have a two-man tent in the car, but I thought, oh, no, it's a nice day. I'll just use the bivy and then, you know, just sit around and enjoy eating food and stuff, which I was up until about, I don't know, 15 minutes ago. Then it started raining. Not just like normal rain, but big, fat, juicy drops of rain. And before I knew it, stuff was getting wet. And so I threw some stuff into this big dry bag I've got. And then I threw other stuff into the coffin. And I sort of clambered in. And now I've got a few predicaments. I've got to sort of get dressed in here, but I can barely roll over. I've not really got any idea where my stuff is. So, like, Ellie's really good at camping because she just, like, organises herself. Right now, I can't tell you where the car key is. I can't tell you. I'm sure I had a spare guy rope somewhere that sort of makes the tent work better. Sort of tightens the tent and stops the rain sort of forming a puddle in the middle of it. Don't know where that is. I thought I could try and make a guy rope by, like, linking dry bags together. Not sure if that's going to work. I've got, my rucksack might actually become a... could work, actually. Yeah. There's a few things to think about. Is it called a guy rope or a guide rope? Don't even know. That's how good a camper I am. But I decided if I just kick the tent, then the little puddles sort of fall off. So I'm just going to do that instead. I've got a head torch somewhere. That would be really handy right now because it's pretty dark in here. But yeah, I don't know where that is. But the rain's sort of slowing down a bit. In fact, it's nearly stopped. So I might be able to find out where my stuff is. So yeah, that's nice. I thought maybe you might be interested to know where I am. I'm on Fleetwith Pike, which, yeah, with a nice view over sort of Buttermere. I'm not at the top. I was going to go to the top, but then I realised it's quite a big hill. So then I just went up a little bit, pretending that Dodgem's a camper van. that's been quite fun. But yeah, you would not want to try and sleep in there. So what have I done today? So I recce'd the Buttermere Sailback route. So tomorrow I'm supporting my mate Tom, who's doing a Steve Parr round, and I'm supporting leg two, which is Buttermere going round to Styhead. So I thought I may as well come across today, do Buttermere Sailback, and then, yeah, just sort of camp out tonight. You're not doing Buttermere Sailback, are you? Which is a bit of a shame. But I don't know if anyone would be interested in what it's like, but might as well tell you. So, yeah, it's steep. It's definitely steep. I think races like this are like a level above A for steepness, you know, like the ABC. Because Chapelfowl Top and Lad's Leap are A's, but that's all runnable. I mean, Lad's Leap was a tiny bit you had to walk, I think. But that's all runnable, whereas today, Buttermere Sailback is like a different sport because you have to... There's so much walking, which I think I'd walked up about three mountains in my life before, about 3 years ago, before moving up here. So if you're not used to walking up hills, yeah, it feels like a different sort of, yeah, a different sort of sport, isn't it? Or yeah. So anyway, it's steep. I reckon it should be an A star grade. Brilliant though, brilliant route. Really glad I did it because during a race I never really look around. So it's nice to be able to say, yeah, look around. Few things I could, yeah, might as well say. You start in the village, go up a road, and then the Pete Bland map says go off on this sheep trot, but it's sort of parallel to the road, just sort of 20 metres just below the road. Can I just run along the road for another, like, few hundred metres and then drop down? Because that would be a lot quicker. And I don't quite know the rules of fell running still. I think that might be allowed, or I don't know. But definitely would be better just to run up the road and drop down because you're running on an awkward contour there. I might just see what other people do. Then first climb up towards Ard Crags. That is, you see that coming. That is a walker. Quite a long walk that. Then the descent off Ard Crags. This is the only bit of the whole route, I think, that's really quite narrow. Well, actually, there are the odd section that's narrow, but this is quite a long section where you're just on like a trod through heather. So this is a descent off Ard Crags down to the Beck. So I reckon if you're a decent descender, try and get ahead there, because you're going to get stuck behind people. There's not really anywhere to overtake down there, and it's really awkward. So you can't really see where you're putting your feet very easily. It's, yeah, it's sort of switchbacks and things. You can't just cut the corners because it's just rough heather. So, yeah. Causey Pike climb is cheeky. That is another long old walk. Then Sail, I think it's called Sail. That was all right. I could just about run up there, so I prefer that. Eel Crag was, yeah, that's fine. Not too long, but yeah, but still, yeah, it's not Fairfield Horseshoe where you've got, you're up high and that's it. You know, there's, you feel like you're going up and down a lot. The descent of Whitelist Pike was great fun, but, I mean, I'm not going to be able to walk for a week after this race, I think. I still feel like I'm recovering from intercounties, to be honest. But yeah, really good race, really good route. It will be steep. There's no point setting off at 10k pace or like sprinting up that first hill, because it's a long old way round.
So there you go. We've had a course, you know, review of Buttermere Sale Beck. Some of Darren's favourite toilets, including the one before that you can visit on your way to Pendle Cluffs. I hope that gets you all prepared for the race this weekend. We've had the real Finlay Wild wishing me luck. The actual Finlay Wild has actually been very kind to me and has even entertained the idea of coming on the podcast, though I expect I've spoiled that by having an impersonator accuse him of taking Class A drugs on his rounds. If he'll forgive me, maybe we'll get him on. I did like how Chris has swapped the dodgem for the coffin, and he comes up with the best questions. The one about guide ropes, I mean, I've wondered that one ever since I was a Boy Scout who didn't properly pay attention. I thought it really set the mood ahead of my Bob Graham attempt to hear Jacob Tonkin's lovely account and to reveal my identity as a person pretending to be from Keswick, from Cumbria, and also doing this podcast in a southern accent, or sometimes my alter ego Jacob Tonkin.
A Lancashire accent. A funny man. Opinions about fur running. It's Alex Fowler.
Hi Charlie, Alex Fowler here. Hope you're alright. Just thought I'd drop by and do a quick Pendle Cluffs preview ahead of the big race, or review if you decide to put this afterwards, either or, I don't think it matter. So yeah, just going to put my odds together on what I think, or how I think Pendle will go. So it's a funny old thing, Pendle Cluffs. I didn't actually know what the word cluffs meant, so I've literally just googled it and it says a steep valley or ravine, and I am aware that there are many on Pendle, hence why it's cluffs and not the singular. But I don't know if everyone knows, and I don't know if it's even complete nonsense, and my grandma's just been fobbing me off for years, but ever since I was a child, if I ever mentioned Pendle, she'd go, "Do you know what Pendle means? Where did it come from?" I was like, "Well, yeah, because you've always told me this, grandma, but go on, tell me anyway, humour me." Apparently, Pendle Hill means hill. Obviously, the word hill means hill, surprisingly. But there's some sort of old English, or I don't even know what I'm talking about. What's my name? Who's the president? Well, Penn and Dull, apparently, according to my grandma, mean hill each. So it's hill, hill, hill. Now, hopefully, someone can come on and say, Alex, your grandma's been fobbing you off. She's absolutely had you stitched up for your entire life, and now you're telling the 18 people that listen to this podcast, that this is what she told you, and they're just thinking, who is this guy? So yeah, there's my review of the Pendle Cluffs race. Good luck to anyone doing it. I can literally see it now over the horizon. It's a, I'm on the Grain Road. I'm not driving. Going between Blackburn, Junction 5 of the M65, and Haslingdon to get on the M66 en route to Manchester. And I can just about see the dark silhouette of Pendle. So yes, good luck everyone. Go well.
So there's the Pendle preview from Alex Fowler. There is more than one hill on this course. That's what we've learned for you. Hill, hill, hill. Seeing as Alex isn't taking his punditry job seriously for the £3,000 salary I have him on, it looks like I'm just going to have to do the job myself. So, what have we got going ahead of Pendle Cluffs? Well, it would be rude to look at the entry list, so I'm going to do a little insight from whisperings in the foul running grapevine that I've heard. Daniel Howarth, the winner of Lad's Leap, will be racing hard at Pendle Cluff. There may be some navigation. Billy Cartwright is looking to return from an injury. There may be some racing near the front of the pack. Tim Lamont, he's currently up in Scotland, according to my Strava, but I'm sure he'll be making a darting dash to get down for Pendle Cluffs. Dr. Rothery will be on his adventures all over Pendle. Donny Clark is running streamline with no facial hair. Harry Bolton has, after his world tour of podcasts, has decided he will race Pendle Cluffs, at least I'm assuming, because I've seen him recce the course. His friend, handsome Jake Collier, will be there to thump home the first climb. A man going by the name of Banter might even be at the start of the race with a video camera and saying rude things about the upcoming prospect of Finley Grant. Finley Grant is actually entering the age in his race in his mental age, so he'll be running in the V60s, and I wish him well. There is no doubt that he will win that category. And on to women's. We have Nicola Jackson with her 2 seconds leading the title. That's 2 second places. Eve Pannoni, the ever pronounceable. She is running very well this year, so we expect good things there. Or we don't expect, we just wish good things to her. Is there anything else? Well, are the Whittakers there? The Whittaker that I so well misnamed, so that would be Eve Whittaker. Okay, I'm going to pause and I'm actually going to look at the entry list.
Yes, there is a Lex Whittaker, but not an Eve, the winner of Lad's Leap Whittaker. There is a Caroline Lambert on the list.
Shit the bed, Grant Cunliffe is on the start line. So is Sharon Taylor. Two more podium botherers for you there. It would appear that Tim Lamont isn't on the start list. So that's my hot tip gone cold. But enough about my sex life. It looks like Chris Richards will be running as well. And a GB athlete who I expect will be up there in the mix also.
Jacob, how? Ketchup and mayo.
I've packed my lunchbox. What's in yours? Tell me what you like or don't like when you're munching on the moors.
Hi Charlie, it's Will. I guess this I might have missed a cut off, I don't know, for your last munching on the moors prior to Bob Graham. So I was going to do this as a quiet recording after my last run, then I didn't because I thought that wouldn't be genuine. Then I'm here on a beautiful evening. It's Wednesday. I'm on Stanage Edge at the most southerly trip point. I think it's Popular End. beautiful evening. I'm feeling the best in running form that I have done for blooming ages. I don't know what's happened. I've changed my shoes and it's actually had like a miraculous change. So I've gone from what I think is a problem, floppy, roomy shoes, Innovate, Talon Ultra thingies, super flared toes, good for ultras, and I think they were too loose. I've gone back to my race thin slim fit X-Talons and my feet feel all bound up and super fast. I think basically because they're quite minimal, they force you to ballet dance across the rocks. Either that or I just feel really flipping good after a hard day's graft at work, in the office, at home office, and now I'm out on the moors on a beautiful evening, first time in ages. Anyway, so munching on the moors for Bob Graham. I've done it twice. What did I find worked for me? Jam and peanut butter sandwiches, or Marmite and peanut butter for the savoury times. Cut the crusts off, you can down them in one. Butter, makes it tasty, good, and loads of carbs. Sweets are great. Haribo Tangfastics taste great when you need them. Bit chewy, therefore, is it Roundtree's Randoms? They're good. You can scoff them pretty quickly, and they taste nice. And they always come in some amusing shapes, like foam ice creams or microphones. Cold pizza's good, pepperoni, but don't overcook it. Because it, when it dries out, it goes a bit hard if you do it like so. Yeah, undercook it, but not too so it's raw. What else? Gels, they have their place. So if I took like one for every hour when I did it solo, I only ate like half of them, so go figure, that was like half a kilos of excess weight I didn't need. Lemon electrolyte drink is good for when you just can't take any more water. That was courtesy of Tom Saville many years ago. What else? Then yes, I Bombay Bad Boy pot noodle, right? So it's fine, it's just my lips were a bit sensitive to it. It's, if you put a full sachet of chili or even a bit, I find they can sear your lips. And if you might be a bit sunburnt or wind chapped lips or sweat, or because you're rubbing your face a lot, blah, 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 the chili might hurt your lips. So yes, actually take lip balm with you with SPF. I think it's going to be sunny this weekend. Don't forget your hat, your suntan lotion, chaff lube, whatever you may use, Body Glide, Vaseline, Fire and Ice, whatever. Put it everywhere you need. Don't forget the nipples because it'll hurt like fury in the shower afterwards. What else? Yeah, in the morning after, your thighs will absolutely wreck. You won't be able to get out of bed or down the stairs or anything. Your toenails will probably all fall off if they haven't already. Pack spare shoes, not just for the road run. Blimey, hey, I drove along that last weekend and I was like, flipping heck, who put this in the route? I'd rather have gone up like, I don't know, Grisdale Pike and then back into Keswick Road and along that bloody road. So yeah, you got that to look forward to. I'm so jealous, I can't be there for you. If you're lucky, there'll be a crowd of people outside the cell side in, ready to cheer you on, not having an idea what you're doing, but it's always a laugh. Honister's good for an ice cream. And yeah, the consistent difficult bit is, for me, high raise at about, is it high raise? At about 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's where I've had my low points there. I think quite a lot of people do, because you're in this really surreal kind of time phase of the day, but also of your body clock, where it's been light for maybe an hour, or it's just getting light, so everything's got that surreal post-club aura. Your head's spinning, you might be a bit dehydrated, you've probably been awake nearly 24 hours by then. I think that's about it. Go easy on the beer the night before, yeah? Don't overdo the pre-training. I'd cut it back to about 5 pints of squash at most. I'm sure you'll smash it. I thought there was something else I was going to add, but it completely slipped my mind. I'm sure it'll come back as and when I do. All the best, mate. And, yeah, suntan lotion and lube and all that other good stuff. See you later. Bye. Eagle-eyed listeners will have noticed my obvious mistake where Stanage Edge runs east-west, not north-south, but navigation's overrated.
I guess all that's left is to bring you my thoughts ahead of the weekend, but it feels the time to take you through on the Bobfoot. Well, here we are. We've reached the emotional apex of On the Bobfoot, me reading you my training diary. I've been doing this to you because it is some sort of thing enforced since mid-December. And we have now reached the week of the Bob. So I'm going to do an extended because I'll include Monday and Tuesday. But I'm going to go back to the week before, the start of my taper. So I ran for a total of 7 hours and 44 minutes. I covered 45.4 miles, 10,232 feet of elevations, and 3,118 meters of elevations if you do prefer. I will go into Monday. Once I put Montag, because I wanted to start in German, that's enough. I was back late from my big recce, but I managed to get to work on time. And after work, I had a little half an hour run up and down Abbeydale Road. I ran in Totley, because we love circular things here. And I don't actually run that often in Totley, even though it's my club. But it was good. Bob's coming and I'm running in Totley. 32 minutes up and down Abbeydale Road. And that was good. Did a bit of physio. And then Emma came up for a visit. And I met her in Pilsley after I'd been working in Bakewell. So, on to Tuesday. We went for breakfast in Cromford. Lovely little cafe right by the main road. So if you enjoy Arctic lorries going past as you're having your breakfast, I know the place, but actually the breakfast was of a very good quality. So do message if you want to know, or if you can figure that one out for yourself and you're looking for breakfast in Cromford, you know the one. We went to Matlock Bath because we have a mutual friend called Matlock who we'd love to one day get to run for Matlock Athletic Club. We just need an extra tea in Matlock. And yes, that was a lovely place to go. Got to, if your friend, you know, is from the seaside, you've got to show her. You got to show her that, you know, seaside towns exist in the centre of England as well. And then we drove over towards Buxton and ran for 92 minutes. And we took in Three Shires Head, where we think we could see Snowdon, because apparently rumour has it you can see Snowdon from the top on a clear day. And I thought we were looking at Wales, and I said, I think that's Snowdon. And Emma thought I was an absolute joker. And then when we got back and spoke to the Lord of Totley, he said, do you know you can see Snowdon off the top of Three Shires Head? At least I think you can. And I think you can. So there you go. There's one for debate. Lovely run that. Emma described it a bit like a sheep safari. So that was nice. Yeah, that was a good run. Wednesday, because she's an absolute hero, Emma helped me pack up and move house. So I've moved to Haversidge, where I was living a year ago. I'm in a rental for a few months. No idea how I've landed on my feet here, but I've got a lovely house to look after while a couple go travelling in South America. And I was back. This was our run in the morning, was just up and down the river. And we went for a dunk afterwards. A little swim in the cold. So that was 32 minutes.
nice and easy. Body's feeling good. Seem to have taken the big weekend all right, and I've been happy on all my runs. Finished moving house. Emma headed back down to Devon, and I went for my last night at the Franklin's. Had a good old chat with Sarah, and Steve was out. I think he was sorting out Carver Fell race. What a guy. Thursday, said my emotional farewell to the chickens, the guinea pigs, the sheep, little Millie, Steve, Sarah. And off I went to Summit Cafe and went on the treadmill and did my last uphill treadmill session of the block. It was an easy 2 miles. Then it was 1 mile at 15%. 2 miles a bit harder at 15%. 1.5 mile hike at 15%. And then some easy running on the flat. And it all was good. I got a bit warm. That's one of the issues. I think it's rest weather now. And I do think it's funny that the sunshine's come out after all this crap weather. So I'm expecting a heat wave on my birthday. And I'll be having to think of some cooling strategies. Had a lovely jacket potato with everything on it. Cheese, beans, tuna, coleslaw. I think you could put them on it in a better way, but they're nice people at the cafe, so don't care. And I then went to the gym and did some of my lifts, and that was good. Went to work and sat in a park, eating a lovely kebab, having a nice chat with Rob Greenwood on my telephone. That was a nice way to end Thursday. I then worked again on Friday. He's gone wild. He's working on Fridays. He's trying to pay for his luxury lifestyle. And, yep, did a bit of work. And I ran up and down the Porter Valley for a total of 49 minutes. And that was another nice, easy run. Every run this week, oh no, uphill treadmill, that was some effort. Most runs this week were easy if they weren't running uphill on a treadmill. Made a little video explaining the Bob Graham, well, my one. I'm not going to educate people on the Bob Graham. I think people probably know enough. I just wanted to show little movements around the maps. I'll see if I can put that out on social media for anyone who's interested. And on Saturday, it was my last long run. I got up. You'll be pleased to know I had some porridge. And I went to meet Bart. And I was 25 minutes early, or 5 minutes late, because I was aiming for 8 a.m. and Bart was actually meeting me at 8:30. So I had a lovely little run around Totley. We started at Pavilion. We had a good old chat. Bart put the shitters at me by saying that he thinks I prepared as well for my Bob as Jasmine Paris did for Barclay Marathons. I don't know where he got this insight from. But made me, for some reason, that made me nervous. So I ran off over Higger and thoroughly enjoyed the rest of my run. Lovely day. And then I went to see The Fall Guy, which I did really enjoy, with Ryan Gosling, who, as you all know, if you combine him with Jason Statham, you get my face. The Raytons, oh yes, that's right. I went to watch a band from Rotherham who I wasn't particularly impressed with, but my friends wanted to see me. So in the morning I had some porridge, as I do. I went for a run in Haversedge, 33 minutes, and did some hill strides. Felt really good. I ran the Field of Sheep, Shit and Dreams, and I had some thoughts, which I will go into in a moment after this. Then I quickly wolfed down some eggs, beans on toast, and Dave and Paul, my friend, said, "Oh, if you get to the train station, we'll pick you up on the way in and you don't have to drive into Sheffield." And I said, "I don't think the times work," but they'd go for it. So I legged it from the door. I ran 0.6 miles in sandals to see the train coming in, and I could see the train coming in. I ran up the ramp, and I jumped through the closing door, And I thought, what a legend I am. Surely everyone's going to give me a cheer. And I think everyone just thought, who's this twat who can't time manage? But yeah, I made it, had a lovely day out. I didn't drink, I was on the 0%ers. Played some pool, managed my favourite trick of potting the black and lining the shot up and looking at my friend whilst I pot it. I missed the first one, which makes it even more annoying and amusing, but I did pot it the second time, and it normally pisses people off a great deal. So I like that little trick. And then I did a late night pod recording, sounding tired and miserable, and I'm sorry about that one. So Monday bank holiday, I did a 62 minute run with 25 minutes of threshold, and that was a good one. You'll never guess, but I didn't have porridge for breakfast. I had beans on toast. And again, on Tuesday, lo and behold, I went wild. I did the same, and I had cheese on beans on toast. Cheese on toast on beans. Beans on the cheese on the toast. And I went to get the brakes fixed on my van, so that Scott, my road support, doesn't die this weekend, because the brake lights came on last week. And I did a 70-minute run near Lyme Park and looked out over Manchester and thought, wow, glad I don't live in Manchester. That was 70 minutes. And yesterday was Wednesday. I went for an easy 3-4 miles it was. And that took me about 33 minutes. And yesterday I randomly started having an ache in my right glute, which I thought, lovely, taper. So I've been prodding it with my thumb, doing some stretches and some glute exercises, and trying not to get too worried about it. And on to my thoughts after this lovely little taper. So the video I made is pretty much showing my friends who are supporting on the bob. And as I was running along, it was very funny because I'd come back to where I was living about a year and a half ago when I quit my job and was feeling all miserable and not wanting to be a physiotherapist, and all sorts of things were going on. And since then, I've been off travelling in my camper van. I've come back and I've really settled into my job. This might suddenly be a bit louder. I noticed for no reason the recording thing had reduced my recording volume to 60%. So yeah, I've been enjoying working at Summit Cafe, starting my own private physio work, working for Kim Baxter. I've had an absolutely amazing time training for this bob and doing all the recces. I felt very lucky. I've just about scraped by on the hours that I'm working. Obviously, when you start a new practice, you're not going to be Rambo from the start. So that has played into my hands. I deliberately didn't work Fridays, so I had 3 days to come off, and it's been like I've been living part-time in the Lake District, and I've absolutely loved the wrecking aspect. I really feel like I've got to know the round, and no matter what happens on Saturday, I'll have had just such a good 6 months of thinking about the bob, doing on the bob, but thinking about it, training for it, all that kind of thing. So it's been amazing, and it was just really funny because I was thinking, like, all of this because one day I sat at home with my dad and watched Sheffield Wednesday versus Arsenal on the telly when I was about 8 or 9. And then I became a Sheffield Wednesday fan at school in Devon. And I wore a Sheffield Wednesday shirt. And I then chose Sheffield on my list of universities. And at my list of universities, I got accepted from none of them but Sheffield. And I came to Sheffield. And then I was like, oh, I'm not sure I want to be a physio. I went back down to Devon. And I did this and I did that. And I joined Torbay Athletic Club and read a guy's book, Darren Ann Finn. And his book led me to Kenya. And Kenya made me think, you know what, I'd love to work in sport. I absolutely am mad passionate about sport. I get home from Kenya and what happens? Someone says that Sheffield Wednesday Academy need a physiotherapist. And somehow through all this little meandering waffle, I'd qualified as a physio, not being a physio, got back into physio, quit physio, decided to work at Sheffield Wednesday. Amazing. That was just like, you know, a boyhood dream. Got to be pitch side, running onto the pitch, even though I got that wrong at one point and ran on when I shouldn't run on, upsetting the assistant manager of West Bromwich Albion. That's another story. Worked my way from the youth team, where they took me to Madeira, they took me to Italy, Portugal, had an incredible time, met some brilliant people, worked with David Hurst, who is my boyhood hero. Went on the piss with him in Ireland. He's hilarious. Then I went on to, went on to the first team. He was my favourite player, Atty Nuyu. He did an impression of me. He used to do a funny little weak voice. And he went, I bet you're the kind of person who goes to presentations, aren't you, Charlie? And you go, oh, one more thing. He was a lovely man, and I worked a lot with a man called Kieran Lee, who was absolute legend, nicest guy. Met so many footballers that I had, thought so highly of, and it was so nice for them to become my friends as well as colleagues. But football ran dry for me. Tony Pulis, I'm not dissing the man, we actually got on okay personally, but around the time he ran was manager, there was a lot of things not going well, and it was time for me to leave. And a guy stepped in and said, come and work for this physio clinic. But not only that, parallel to all of this, I had been having Fridays off, and that's where I'd been to do yoga, because that's another of my random interests. And I'd been mooching around Front Runner, and that's where the Lord of Totley thought, who's this weird chap? I'll invite him on a run. And then that's the other thing, it went Totley, and then it was years with all those guys, meeting Bart, Jamie, Jake, all of the people coming to help, Matt, Joe, Colin. And it's just been one thing after another, all from this weird little decision that I like Sheffield Wednesday. I'm really rambling on here. I hope you're not bored to tears. You probably are. A mate of mine, Dave, introduced me to Dan Howarth. Dan Howarth introduced me to Billy. Billy helped me coach, helped coach me. Meeting Billy introduced me to, the podcast introduced me to Donny. Donny introduced me to Jacob Tonkin. Bobby God's story reached out to the podcast. They're on my leg too. Just all these random things by just doing things that I thought were exciting and fun. And that's to me what this Bob Graham is all about. It's just doing something that's interesting to you, and following your random life story. And it just does really feel like I'm going into the unknown. I've only ran 30 miles in one sitting, but I'm really excited. I've got an amazing support around me. When I was at home in November, I was running along the beach, and I bumped into an old school friend, Emma. I can't wait to see her when she comes up to support me. My mum's going to be there. And even if something bad happened and I didn't make it round, I just want to thank everybody for coming along on this journey that has been just so, so good. I can't wait to... Can't wait to give it a good shot. Give it some beans, and by that I mean baked beans, because I bet you I'll be farting.
That was the podcast. We talked about running. We talked about other things too. Thank you for joining. We hope you enjoyed it.
Well, just to play you out, here we go. when I wake up. Yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. If I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. Da da da, da da da, da 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 da. When I'm working, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. When the money comes in for the work I'll do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, when I come home, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I grow old, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing old with you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. Da da da, da da da, la 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 la. When I'm lonely, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. When I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out, when I go out, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home with you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. Da da da, da da da, la 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 la. Da da da, da da da, da la 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 da la. Thank you, everybody. It's going to be a great one. La 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 la. Hope to see you at Pendle. No, I won't be there. La 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 la.